Tap time again. Richard Fitzwilliams is joining us from the UK. Good afternoon, Richard. How are you?
Oh, I'm certainly fine. I had enjoyed a very peaceful, colourful day at Henry Lee Regatta.
Oh, very nice.
Low profile these days. You don't read much about Henley. Ascot's very, very high profile, of course, with a royal presence, but it's very peaceful and colourful and pleasant.
Very civilised. Yes.
Yes.
What's your drink of choice at the Henley Regatta?
Well, a glass or two of champagne, of course. Most have Pimm's. That's rather what they tend to drink. But, I mean, it's one of these. It's very colourful. It's interesting that Henley, apart from rows over skirt lengths, apparently, your skirt still has to be 2 inches below the knee or something. That was, I think, ridiculous. But anyway, apart from that, it's really never been in the news. There's no royal patronage of Henley, which is rather extraordinary.
Yeah.
And it exists in its own very, very colourful, very pleasant, very pleasing world. Mm. Ascot is far more dramatic, and of course the showcase of fashion too. Henley, well, it's rather fun actually. You see people wear some of them look a bit superannuated, I have to say, wearing blazers which they wore 50 years previously. It's rather fun.
It's too hot for blazers here, I know that much. Richard, let's have a look at the movies today, and the first one is Sicario 2, Soldado. And I must admit, I've not seen the first one. I've watched some clips of today, of course. What's your take on this film, Richard?
Well, the first one was, I thought, extraordinarily good, especially the opening scene. I mean, that really, really hits you what the cartel can, drug cartel can do in Mexico. It's a most extraordinary scene. And the first one also had the advantage of being directed by Denis Villeneuve, who did Arrival, of course. Right. And starred Emily Blunt as well as Benicio del Toro. And here you have very important themes, issues such as terrorism, people smuggling, the activities of the drug cartels. I mean, among the most important threats facing us, with a tide of human misery. I mean, you couldn't have a movie that was more timely in this respect. Mm. And it ought to have a visceral power. I mean, I would say there is an appeal in exciting action sequences.
Yeah.
The fine photography, there's a lyrical moment, obviously filmed from a helicopter. The copter goes right up and you can see the barren terrain below, and then almost magically an airliner passes between the ground and the sky. It's rather, that's an impressive moment. The problem with this movie is the absence of subtlety. We continue to follow, as in the first one, Mexican undercover operative Alessandro Gillick, played by Benicio del Toro, superb actor. Remember him in Traffic.
Yes.
Conducting a one-man campaign against the cartels after the murder of his daughter. He's working with the CIA agent Matt Graver, played by Josh Brolin, who has orders from the Secretary of Defense, played by Matthew Modine. No prizes for guessing whether or not he's a good or bad guy. This is a dirty war that he wants. And the kidnapping of a cartel's boss's daughter, Isabella, played by Isabella Manera's best she can, is pretty pivotal. Here the director is Stefano Solima, and my quibbles are, firstly, they're drug cartels, people smuggling and so forth. It's a pretty shady business, and it's pretty diabolical, especially when they're smuggling terrorists to commit outrages into America. But here's the problem. Dark subject, sure, but if it's so dark, summer so much of the time that you can't really see what's going on.
Oh, right.
There's no point in having a dark environment for the sake of it. The idea of making it sinister. What you want is to understand a convoluted plot, which is difficult enough anyway. When you can't make out very often who's who because of the darkness, it's not an advantage. The other problem is the script's unsubtle. And the third problem is that the dialogue is difficult to hear very often when Josh Brolin's chewing bubble gum and talking at the same time. Benicio del Toro does mumble a bit. But here's the problem. Yes, the fighting is fun and all the rest of it. There are crowds of dust and there are lively fight sequences, and the cast are first rate, but all they've got to do is more or less the physicality. Here you had really serious topics and the opportunity of tackling them in a way that was truly dramatic, in a way that was visceral, in a way that it brought them home. What you really got is a bit of a confused action movie, and what I thought was a bit unforgivable was the purpose of the movie, I know it's a sequel, fair enough, to a first-class film before, the original Sicario, but the trouble is that this movie is... Part of this is the plot is simply limping on so that there will be another sequel, and I got very impatient with that.
Yeah. Again, talking about the dialogue there, I suppose maybe it's close to reality. I'm not sure how many drug cartels are known for their clarity of English, but...
Well, I mean, put it this way. I mean, the American-Mexican border, where much of this film is set, yeah. Putting it mildly, it's the centre of a great deal of dispute at the moment. But terrorism is, of course, a very important... diabolical threat, and also you've got the people smuggling and illegal immigration. I mean, all of these are important topics, and the pity of this movie is you put a couple of good actors in, especially yeah. Del Toro, but you don't really give them much to do. And I mean, the Secretary of Defense played by Matthew Modine, I mean, he's such a horror that all you need do is look at the way he's filmed to know that he is on, shall we say, the side of ruthlessness.
Yeah.
I mean, this is not a subtle movie. It needn't have been subtle. What he did need to do is to take serious issues and make them more dramatic than just gung-ho action
yeah.
scenes.
In other words, it could have actually made a message, but it's probably a bit more superficial than it... maybe can be, because, like you say, the time where we are, what's going on in American politics at the moment, there could be a real message in there, couldn't there?
There could have been something much, much better and much more substantial than we get. We get some years, to be fair. It's quite exciting.
Yeah. Okay, the ratings out of 5 for that, Richard, please.
2.5.
2.5 for Sicario 2. Not so good as the first film, would you say?
Oh, certainly nothing like as good as the first film. And the first film, the impact of the first film, which actually showed what you can do with a theme like that, I can still, with my horror, the opening scene and what's discovered when the cartel seek revenge, I mean, that is a brilliantly filmed action sequence. Call it an action sequence if you like, but it had profound power, and you really realized the ruthlessness of these people. There's nothing even approaching that anywhere in this film, when you can see, that is.
Okay, well, from drug cartels on the Mexican border, we go to another world as we look at The Bookshop.
We do indeed, a bookshop. I understand Spanish Money was involved, and certainly the movie's done extremely well with the Goya
yes.
Awards and other Spanish awards. But my question has to be, what's particularly special about it? I mean, it's quite an enjoyable movie. It's set in the late 1950s in an English seaside town. Florence Green, played by Emily Mortimer, is a war widow who opens a bookshop. And the plot is an excuse for all sorts of character studies of rather quirky characters of the village. Edmund Brundage is played by Bill Nye, who's recluse. He orders books from Florence, and finally when she visits him, a tendress develops between them. But her problems are numerous because Violet Gamet, played by Patricia Clarkson, who rather enjoys playing acerbic monsters, she intends to turn building the bookshops into an art centre and will stop at nothing to do it,
yeah.
and she wants Florence out. It's told in flashback by a narrator who I have to say I didn't realise was Julie Christie.
Oh, wow, no. There you go. Nice little surprise.
I mean, it's a very English movie, very sort of stereotype movie. It's perfectly obvious pretty early on what the dramatic twist, not exactly what the ending's going to be, but that A certain artifact is going to be involved in it. Isabel Coxette directs, and the problem with the movie is that it isn't particularly dramatic. It is well enough acted, and I mean, Emily Mortimer, Bill Nye, and Patricia Clarkson all give perfectly good performances. It's based on Penelope Fitzgerald's novel. I couldn't help feeling that a murder or two would have livened it up.
There's some good actors in there, aren't there? That's for sure. And, you know, a fantastic cast. And the name of the lady who plays the lead role escapes me. I saw her in The Newsroom, and I thought she was very good in that TV series. But it doesn't sound like it's grabbed you at all.
No, Well, this is the problem. There isn't that much in it to grab you. The character studies are rather sensitive. It's well enough shot. It's got the English town and countryside, a bit of, we see a bit of it, a certain amount of beauty in that. It's got the period sense of the 1950s. All of this is, yeah. It's not difficult to get that. What you want is something more dramatic. And it certainly, it is also obvious, if not exactly what is going to happen, it is pretty obvious what might happen quite early on into one or two of the characters. It doesn't get anywhere, really. I mean, it's a perfectly pleasant experience if what you want to do is to luxuriate in, well, 50 years ago, English seaside town, and the bookshop, oh, to be sure, I mean, when Florence, she's set up to it, tries to sell Lolita, it causes quite a scandal in the town, as you can perhaps imagine, but yes. It doesn't really, the point is, none of this really leads anywhere.
Oh, so, yeah, it looked good on the trailers, but yeah, you're not convincing me, so ratings out of 5 then, Richard, on that one, please.
2.5.
Not been a great week, has it? Will it get better? Will it get better next week, Richard?
Oh, yes, it will. No, it will get better next week. And this is a pledge. Firstly, we'll be looking at In the Fade. Many may not know this movie, but Charlize Theron's performance isn't one you'll forget, and it's won the Golden Globe for Best Foreign Film. And also a very unusual film by Deborah Granick, who made Jennifer Lawrence in Winter's Bone, most memorably. It's called Leave No Trace.
Okay, I'll look forward to that next week. Richard, if anybody wants to find you online, how can they do that?
My website is www.richardfitzwilliams.com and Twitter at @rfitzwilliams.
Okay, Richard, we'll speak again next week. Have a great weekend. See you soon. There we go.
I look forward to it.